All right, so you know how some people they see the universe differently after like a near-death experience? Well, get this. Today's deep dive, it's all about this guy, David Noel Lynch. And not the filmmaker, but
Kind of.
this David Noel Lynch, he claims he actually heard the universe like whispering its secrets during this like brush with
Yeah.
death.
Well.
So we're diving into excerpts from his book. It's called Automaton's Probability and Tropium's Possibility.
Okay.
And let me tell you, this is some next level
It
stuff.
really is. He Lynch calls himself a, this is great, a schizophrenic savant.
Wow.
And he spent over 2 decades like really trying to decode what he experienced, to put it into a language that we can at least try to wrap our heads around.
It almost feels like one of those things that, you almost need like a whole new vocabulary just to even
Dictionaries.
begin to talk about it.
Definitely. Yeah.
And one of the first things that struck me was how Lynch goes right for one of those like iconic scientific concepts out there, Einstein's EMCRE, but he doesn't just like praise it. He
Right.
says it. He says it's incomplete.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Well, Lynch, he fixates on the CK,
All right.
the speed of light squared,
Okay.
and he proposes something really wild. He believes there must be two speeds of light
Whoa.
operating in dimensions that we haven't even discovered yet.
Okay.
These dimensions, he calls automaton and entropium.
Two speeds of light. Okay. We're already in mind-bending territory, so
Yeah.
tell me more about these dimensions. Like, what are automaton and entropium? What are they all about?
Okay, so imagine, if you will, the universe as a grand play.
Okay.
Automaton. In Lynch's view, it's like the backstage area. It's like the
Interesting.
realm of pure potential
Yeah.
where
Yeah.
every possibility exists. It's where the script of the universe is written, but not yet performed.
So, everything that could happen is just hanging out backstage in automaton, waiting for its cue to enter the stage.
That's a great way to put it. And according to Lynch, the laws of
Whoa.
physics as we understand them, they don't even apply there.
Oh, wow.
It's pure potential, completely outside our normal understanding
Yeah.
of time and space.
Wow. That's a lot to process.
Okay.
Okay. So, if automaton is the backstage of the universe where everything is possible, what about entropium? Is that like the audience watching the play?
You're on the right track. Lynch describes entropium as the realm of pure chaos, the ultimate destination of everything, if automaton is, the ordered potential. Entropium is where things dissolve back into randomness.
It's like all the energy and the information in the universe
Yeah.
eventually flows into entropium, like a river meeting the ocean.
That's the kind of imagery Lynch uses, although he's always quick to point out
Yeah.
that even metaphors, they fall short
Yeah.
when trying to describe these concepts.
Oh, sure.
But the river meeting the ocean, that's a good visual
Yeah.
for how he sees these two forces interacting.
Okay. I think I'm starting to get a sense of this, but if automaton is the ordered potential
Yeah.
and entropium is pure chaos, where do we fit into all of this? Are we just like caught in the middle
Yeah.
of this cosmic play?
That's where things get really interesting. Lynch says that space itself, the very fabric of the universe, is actually the membrane between automaton and entropy. He calls it a battleground. And
Tell us
here's why
about
that's so fascinating.
a battleground.
Yeah.
So it's like these two forces, automaton and entropium, they're constantly kind of like pushing and pulling on each other, and the space around us is where that struggle is playing out.
Exactly. Lynch argues that particles, those, like building blocks of matter, they're constantly flowing from automaton into our reality, representing order and
I
structure.
see.
At the same time, waves of energy are surging in from entropium, bringing chaos and random in.
Yeah, let me see if I've got this straight. Okay. Imagine you're holding like a handful of sand.
Okay.
The individual grains of sand, that's like the order of automaton. But then
Right.
you open your hand
Yeah.
and the wind blows the sand away in these unpredictable ways. That's like
Yeah.
the chaotic influence of entropium.
That's a really clever analogy. And you know how sometimes you make a choice and it
Yeah.
feels like you're taking a definite step in a new direction?
Yeah.
Lynch would call that a particle
A
solitude,
cortical
a
solitude.
moment where automaton's influence is shaping your reality.
That sounds kind of intense for just making a decision.
Oh, in Lynch's view, every decision, no matter how small, is part of this grand cosmic dance between order and chaos.
Wow.
And on the flip side, when something completely unexpected happens, something you couldn't have planned for,
Yeah.
that could be seen as a wave solitant.
That's solitant.
A surge of entropium.
Shaking things up.
If those are the two like moves in this cosmic game, what about that? What about the third kind of solitant you mentioned earlier, the interface solitant? Ah, yes. The interface solitant is where things get really interesting. Lynch describes it as the point where the particle solitant and the wave solitant, they meet. That fleeting instant where order and chaos collide.
That's like that. That split second.
Yeah.
When you make a choice.
Right.
But before you know what the consequences will be.
Precisely. And Lynch believes that our consciousness, our experience of the now, exists within that interface solitant. Mm. It's the point where possibilities become reality, where the script from Ultimaten meets the unpredictable reactions of entropy.
That's kind of a mind-blowing way to think about everyday life. Like, every moment is this clash of cosmic forces. But
hold on. If space is this battleground, what does that mean for our normal understanding of time?
That's where Lynch introduces another fascinating concept, something he calls the trapezoid of time.
Yeah. He argues that our linear view of time, with the past behind us and the future ahead, is far too simplistic.
The trapezoid of time. Okay. I'm intrigued. Tell me more about this trapezoid of time. What is that all about?
Picture a trapezoid, like a rectangle, with the top narrower than the bottom.
Okay.
That narrow top part, that represents the present moment, what Lynch calls the singular infinity.
Singular infinity. Okay. Help me wrap my head around that one.
It seems like a contradiction, right?
It does.
But Lynch is suggesting that this infinitesimally small moment right here, right now, actually contains within it an infinity of possibilities.
Whoa.
It's like both singular and infinite at the same time.
Every potential future, every possible past, it's all somehow contained within this one tiny point in time.
That's how Lynch sees it. And as we move further away from the present moment toward either the past or the future, the trapezoid widens.
The further away we get from the now, the more open and undefined things become.
Exactly.
Like how? Memories can be hazy, and the future is always uncertain.
Exactly. Lynch argues that the past isn't fixed, and the future isn't predetermined.
Wow.
They're both part of this expanding trapezoid of time, constantly being shaped and reshaped by the interplay of automaton and entropium.
I'm starting to see why Lynch had such a hard time explaining this. It's like trying to describe a four-dimensional object to someone who's only ever seen in three dimensions.
You hit the nail on the head. In fact, Lynch actually uses a three-dimensional model to illustrate these concepts, something he calls the Noellian number line. Noellian number line. Okay, now I'm really curious. What is this three-dimensional line all about?
Hmm.
What does it track?
Imagine a line that's constantly coiling and uncoiling.
Great.
Always in motion. But not just in two directions.
Okay.
This line, according to Lynch, represents the entire history of the universe.
Wow.
The ebb and flow of order and chaos across all of time and space.
So every event, every decision, every interaction, it's all part of this intricate dance recorded on this invisible number line.
That's how Lynch sees it. And it's all governed by something he calls the Noel equation.
Hold on. Noel equation. We've got solitons.
Oh.
A trapezoid of time. Now an equation. You're really making me work for this deep dive.
I promise. I promise it's worth it. The Noel equation at its core is Lynch's attempt to represent the relationship between automaton and entropium.
How they interact and create the universe as we experience it.
We've got these. We've got these two powerful forces, automaton and entropium, battling it out across space and time. We're caught in the middle, our consciousness flickering. In the interface soliton, our lives playing out on this Noelian number line. But is there some kind of record of this cosmic dance? I mean, is anyone keeping score?
You know, that's a question Lynch asks himself. And his answer is another mind-blowing concept. The Akashic Record.
Wait a minute. The Akashic Record. Like that mystical library where all knowledge is stored. Is Lynch saying that actually exists?
He doesn't use those exact terms. But he does describe a universal history.
Okay.
A record of every thought, action, and event that has ever occurred or ever will occur. And he believes this record reflects the patterns of the Noel equation, this intricate dance between order and chaos.
You're telling me that every time I make a cup of tea, that's not just me going through the motions.
Right.
It's part of this grand cosmic dance, and it's all being recorded in the Akashic Record.
According to Lynch, yes. Even something as seemingly mundane as making tea is part of a much larger, more intricate process governed by these fundamental forces.
Wow. This is a lot to digest. So we've covered a lot of ground here, from the battleground of space to the trapezoid of time, from solitons to the Akashic record. But with all these complex concepts, where do we even go from here? What does it all mean? I have to admit, part of me just wants to ask Lynch for like a flowchart or something, or at least like a glossary of terms, just to keep it all straight. Yeah. But I also get the feeling that this isn't really about like memorizing definitions, is it?
You're right on the mark. Yeah. If you take one thing away from Lynch's work, it's the journey of understanding the universe. It's just as important as the destination, maybe even more so.
So it's less about finding all the answers and more about learning to ask the right questions.
Exactly. Remember how much Lynch struggled to find the words to describe what he experienced.
Yeah.
He felt limited by our everyday language. Mm. And that struggle itself is really telling, he seems to be saying, that by wrestling with these concepts, even if they seem strange or paradoxical, we actually expand our capacity for understanding. Like
mental yoga for the cosmically inclined.
I love that.
We're stretching our minds to accommodate these huge mind-blowing ideas.
I love that. And if we connect this back to the Akashic record, the idea that everything is interconnected,
right?
Then maybe by expanding our own awareness, we're not just changing ourselves, we're actually influencing the fabric of reality itself.
Okay. No, that's both exciting and a little bit terrifying at the same time.
Yeah.
It's not just about understanding the universe, like out there. It's also about the universe in here, inside each of us.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And that's where I think Lynch's work goes beyond traditional physics or cosmology.
Okay.
He's blurring the line between science and spirituality.
Yeah.
Suggesting that the universe isn't.
Yeah.
Some cold.
Right.
In different machine.
Right.
Something. We're actively participating in shaping with every thought, every action, every moment of our existence.
Wow. Talk about a paradigm shift. This deep dive has really given me a lot to ponder. But if someone's listening to this right now, and maybe they're feeling a bit overwhelmed, but they're curious to explore these ideas further, where would you even recommend they start?
I'd say the most important thing is to just sit with these concepts. Yeah. Don't worry about understanding everything right away. Let the ideas of automaton and entropium, of solitons, and the trapezoid of time just kind of marinate in your mind for a while.
Yeah.
See what connections you start to make. What new questions pop up.
And maybe even try explaining it to someone else. I know I'm going to be thinking about this all day. Well, definitely. We'll have to have you back to talk about more of this stuff, because I feel like we've only just scratched the surface of Dave and Noel Lynch's work.
Yeah.
But for now, I think we've done enough mind bending for one episode. Okay. So to everyone listening, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the Norwellian universe. And we'll leave you with this final thought. If our language shapes our reality, as David Noel Lynch suggests, what new worlds might we create if we could truly learn to speak the language of the universe?